What's going on, Eagles fans? Welcome in. It's the Locked On Eagles podcast here on June 20th. My name is Louis DiBiase. Glad to be back with you here for today's edition of the podcast. Make sure to follow me on Twitter, as always, at DiBiase, L-O-E, for Eagles, Eagles, and more Eagles, the 2017 Super Bowl champion, Philadelphia Eagles. Happy to be with you again here today on this Wednesday edition of the podcast. If you missed yesterday's show, Jordan Hanskin of the Meadville Tribune outside of Pittsburgh joined the show to create the new version of the Steagles. So I saw a tweet yesterday that was talking about the Eagles and the Steelers, you know, how they, in 1943, if you didn't know, the two teams merged because of World War II. Both teams had a lot of players end up going into the service, so in order for them to have a complete roster, they had to combine teams. So me and Jordan, thinking after we saw the tweet about, you know, how good the Eagles and Steelers would be now when you combine Carson Wentz, Le'Veon Bell, Antonio Brown, we create our own Steagles, and I think we picked some good teams. I'm not going to spoil it, but I obviously did use the Philadelphia Eagles as one of my rosters because right now, on paper, they are the most talented team in the NFL. They're coming off a Super Bowl win, and they barely lost really any players when you think about it, how much better the roster looks even now compared to February. It looks just as good, if not better. So I did pick the Eagles. I won't spoil who else I threw out on my roster, and Jordan as well picked two teams, and he chose from the AFC, surprisingly enough, which I was surprised about considering I think the NFC is the dominant conference right now in the NFL. But again, I'm not going to get too deep into that podcast. You can check that out. As always, we're available on Apple Podcasts, iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, and TuneIn Radio. Another quick announcement here for the Locked On Eagles podcast. I'm very happy to announce the addition of two new members to the Locked On Eagles family, to the Locked On Eagles network and the Locked On Podcast Network. Justin Grasso and Johnny Page will be joining the network as contributors. Justin Grasso is going to be a co-host with me two or three times a week for the show. As you know, we do our show four or five times a week, and then during the regular season, it's going to be every day on weekdays and on Sundays as well. So basically 6 days a week, almost every day, you're going to be getting Eagles content here from us on Locked On Eagles podcast. But Justin Grasso, a editor for Inside the Eagles on Fansided, which is a website I used to write for as well, so I'm familiar with his work. Really good stuff. He is going to be joining me on the show two or three times a week, so very excited to get another perspective on the Philadelphia Eagles. I think it'll make the show that much better, so you don't have to hear me just talking to myself and talking out loud to you, the fans. So he's going to be on two or three times a week. And then Johnny Page, a writer for Bleeding Green Nation, if you haven't heard of him, all the way over from London, England. We got some awesome fans over in Europe. Not just Johnny Page, but Liam Jenkins, who we had on 2 weeks ago from the Philly Sports Network, who came in to discuss Rasul Douglas on our first Locked On segment, which we'll have another one of those, by the way, this week coming in with Liam Jenkins, and it's going to be about Josh Sweat. But Johnny Page is going to be in doing a film-focused podcast, so I think that's going to be a really cool new feature to the show, because that's something that this podcast was really founded on. When you think about it, with who the past co-hosts were, Michael Kist and Ben Soliak, those guys do awesome stuff with film review, and Johnny Page does a really good work in that area as well. So I'm very excited to get those two guys on. But yeah, like, Johnny Page is from London, Liam Jenkins is over in England as well. You know, we got some awesome fans over in NFL Europe. I even had someone tweet at me the other day that they're a fan of the show and they listen over to England. So we appreciate you guys listening from overseas. I'm excited for you guys that the Eagles are coming to London this year to play the Jacksonville Jaguars. I know the Eagles have a pretty good fan base out there, so maybe I'll come out. We'll see what happens, but I'm very excited for you guys, and I do appreciate, again, all of my listeners that have come in and have given me feedback so far. It's been a very fun first month here in my new stint with the Locked On Podcast Network. So what we're going to talk about today is potential breakout candidates for the Eagles in 2018. And it's not just, you know, the typical, you know, Jay Ajayi, you know, I'm not going to give away the guys that I have on my list, but it's not just the popular names, the guys that you expect probably to have a big year in 2018, but it's also the players kind of like Nelson Agholor last year, who his first two seasons was ruled a bust. He didn't do almost anything productive to start his NFL career. He looked like a guy that just was in his own head. He looked like what Markelle Fultz really right now is with the Philadelphia 76ers, and he just did not know how to showcase his talent. He looked lost, and he looked like a guy that just was unfixable. And he went from that to being one of the most efficient slot receivers in the NFL and a key component to the Eagles' Super Bowl title. So the guys like that, players like Patrick Robinson, who some people thought it was just when they signed him was going to be a camp body, maybe he gets cut, just used for depth. He ends up being one of the best slot corners in the NFL, and he ends up signing a big contract with the Saints this year that the Eagles just, they weren't going to match based on the depth they have at corner, or a Corey Clement. You know, Corey Clement, undrafted out of Wisconsin. The talk was all about Donnell Pumphrey. It was about LeGarrette Blount and Darren Sproles. And then maybe with Wendell Smallwood sprinkled in here and there. It wasn't about Corey Clement. And suddenly he found a niche when Darren Sproles went down as the pass-catching running back that no one saw coming. So we're not going to just get into the basic popular names for breakout players of 2018, but also some low-key guys, some guys that are kind of flying under the radar that maybe you wouldn't expect to have a significant role with the 2018 Philadelphia Eagles, but nonetheless are probably going to have one. But before I get into that, I want to throw this out there for Eagles fans that appreciate nostalgia, because I'm one of the guys, I love looking back. Even with the 2017 Super Bowl win, I'm still looking at that, obviously. I'm still riding high on the celebration. I'm probably going to be celebrating for the rest of my life this 2017 win until we win another one, which hopefully is in 2018. But I think it's cool. Bleeding Green Nation posed the question, and a lot of Eagles Twitter has been talking about, you know, past memories and what things you would take back. And I was looking back to some of the seasons when I grew up as an Eagles fan, and I'm a younger Eagles fan, so, you know, the Rondae Barber interception wasn't something that really gets me right now. I bet really the heartbreak started kicking in for me during the 2008 season against the Arizona Cardinals in the NFC Championship game, you know, when DeSean Jackson scored that touchdown and then the Cardinals took the lead and ended up winning it. I go back to the 2010 wild card game against the Green Bay Packers, then in 2013 with the Saints. But for Eagles fans, if you're interested, the 2010 Packers wild card game in full is up on YouTube right now, and it's cool because the NFL Game Pass actually took off games from 2010, which to me was, outside of 2017, was my favorite Eagles season. I remember the Michael Vick comeback player of the year season. The talent they had on offense with Philadelphia, you know, Michael Vick, Jeremy Maclin, DeSean Jackson, LeSean McCoy. That was a fun season. So that is up on YouTube. And the Saints-Eagles wildcard game in 2013, which I remember like it was yesterday, when Nick Foles had the lead for the Eagles coming off the field and Drew Brees and Mark Ingram gashed the Eagles' defensive line, you know, clocked it out, kicked the game winner, and the Eagles went home. And I remember, actually, I'm famous, or in my friend group, for after that game, sitting in my kitchen in the pitch dark, eating a bowl of salsa with chips, just by myself, sulking around. So that game really got to me, but both games are up on YouTube, and it got me thinking. And for our poll of the day, I put up, what Eagles wildcard loss had you more upset? And it was at the 2010 game against the Green Bay Packers, or was it against the New Orleans Saints in 2013? Right now it's 50-50, which I think is interesting. For me, more so it was the Packers game, because I thought that was the Eagles team that was going to get it done. There was just a lot of magic with that team. You look back to the miracle in the New Meadowlands, just everything that happened with the team, with Michael Vick just out of nowhere becoming an MVP candidate that, honestly, I know Tom Brady threw like 52 touchdowns that year, but Michael Vick, I think, should have won MVP for the way he took over in Philadelphia. But if that team, remember, too, DeSean Jackson's a shoelace tackle away from taking that pass to the house in the fourth quarter. And if Michael Vick doesn't throw that pick, he underthrows Riley Cooper in the back of the end zone when they're driving late in the fourth quarter, the Eagles might win that game. And you know, who knows, they go on to play Atlanta. I think that Eagles team had a window of opportunity there if they could have got by the Packers to maybe ended up hosting the first Eagles Super Bowl championship. But, I mean, we got it done in 2017, so it's okay to look back on it now. But that Saints game, too, was big. I think it was more so, though, I didn't really expect that team to be in it, so I was just enjoying the ride, whereas when we consider the 2010 season, the Eagles were already coming off an 11-5 season in 2009. The year before, they were, you know, 2 minutes away from going to the Super Bowl. So I was expecting more of that team, and that's why that took a long time for me to get over. And luckily, again, the Eagles did win a Super Bowl, so I think it's easier to get over now. But I just think it's fun to go back because I'm very nostalgic. I like thinking about the Chip Kelly era, the what-ifs, you know, the Marcus Mariota whole chaos in the offseason. So if you do want to go watch those games, though, I just saw that they are up on YouTube. So I've been checking those out the past few days, just reminiscing, because I think it's fun now. It doesn't hurt as much now that we have a ring on our finger for the Philadelphia Eagles. So let's get into our breakout candidates. But first, before we do that, if your company is interested in reaching men between the ages of 18 and 44, your company should be sponsoring the Locked On Eagles podcast. Locked On Eagles is listened to by 98% men and 80% between the ages of 18 to 44. So if you're trying to reach men 18 to 44, this is your spot. Plus, our rates are very reasonable. Make sure you email me, lockedoneaglespodcast@yahoo.com. Let's get into now our breakout candidates for the 2018 season in Philadelphia. And my number one, this one is, I think, a more popular choice, and it's Derek Barnett. Defensive end, first-round pick in 2017. I think Derek Barnett is going to really come on the scene in 2018. He had 5 sacks last year. I thought in a limited role, Barnett made huge strides in his rookie year and was a significant contributor to this Eagles defense. Remember, too, Derek Barnett was part of 2 of the greatest plays in Eagles history. We think about the strip sack on Case Keenum in the NFC Championship game that he had on him, and then we look back to the Super Bowl against the Patriots where Brandon Graham gets the strip sack and Derek Barnett jumps on the ball and falls on it, and the Eagles end up getting the ball back, and it was a key component to the Eagles killing out the clock and winning that game. And although the Patriots did get a chance in the end, Derek Barnett jumping on that ball was huge because then the Patriots really only had a few, you know, Hail Mary attempts, essentially, just deep bombs. You know, there was only one of those, but they only had a few. They had to drive from their own, I think it was like the 10-yard line. They were backed up, and the Eagles were giving them a lot of 15-yard passes, just slowly moving up because there wasn't that much time left because Barnett jumped on that. And that's a huge play. You know, you think about it all the time, how that's a play you have to capitalize on. It's not just that you got the strip sack, but it's completing the play. It's finishing. That's something coaches stress all the time in football, and Derek Barnett did just that. But I think this year he's going to be even bigger with the defense. He only played in 41% of the snaps last year, you know, while they were rotating through the likes of Vinnie Curry, Chris Long, and Brandon Graham. Vinnie Curry last year ended up playing pretty much 56% of the snaps. He was the starter. The Eagles were paying him a lot of money. He was strong in the run game. So, and Derek Barnett was a rookie. So Curry had a more extensive role than Derek Barnett. But, and also Chris Long ended up playing 48%. I don't think Chris Long plays that big of a role again this year, considering I think Derek Barnett's going to have a bigger role, and Michael Bennett, to me, is going to play just as much as Vinnie Curry. And he isn't a rookie anymore, so I think the 41% also emulates that. They weren't trying to, you know, with a deep rotation they already had, they weren't trying to throw too much on Derek Barnett. I think he's going to get snaps. And the thing is, too, Michael Bennett, he's going to get snaps inside a lot of the time that Vinnie Curry didn't get. The Eagles did use, at times, Vinnie Curry or Brandon Graham inside, but especially this year, with Timmy Jernigan injured for probably the first month, if not the first couple months of the season, the Eagles are pretty thin at defensive tackle. Holodinata is also well known for his injury history the past few years. You know, he's an aged veteran. And outside of that, they have Destiny Vio, they have Elijah Qualls, and although Elijah Qualls has looked strong in OTAs and minicamp, are you really going to rely on those two young guys inside? Michael Bennett has played a lot of defensive tackle in Seattle, and I think that he's going to have an extensive role there, bigger than Vinnie Curry ever had. So that's also going to boost Barnett's snap count at defensive end, which is going to just give him more opportunities to get sacks. And he's just a pure pass rusher. You can just tell that he, you know, his speed doesn't come off the charts. His strength isn't. When you just talk about athleticism, when we're talking about on paper, Derek Barnett is, he doesn't boost off the charts. He's not someone that's going to get the draft hype that a lot of the mega athletes have. You know, even Josh Sweat is getting a lot of that hype right now in Philadelphia because he's so fast and so athletic. Derek Barnett is just, but he's a football player. And I hate doing that, but he's very like Jalen Mills, who, again, he doesn't have Ronald Darby's speed. He doesn't have Sidney Jones's athleticism. He doesn't have Rasul Douglas's size. But what he makes up for all of that is technique, is form, is experience, aggression, you know, work ethic. And that, to me, is what Derek Barnett is. And you saw that. Especially, I look back to the Dallas game, where he had 2 sacks that Sunday night football game and 6 pressures. Even at Tennessee, you could just tell what a natural rusher he was, breaking Reggie White's records. And he's huge in the run defense, too. That, honestly, was probably his best strength his rookie year. So Derek Barnett's my number one guy to watch as a potential breakout in 2018. Number two for me is Dallas Goedert, the rookie tight end, the Eagles' first draft pick in 2018 out of South Dakota. He was a second-round pick. I don't even think he's getting enough hype. I think people are starting to talk about him now after the strong minicamp he had, but he has caught absolutely everything during minicamps. And Peterson said his athleticism has popped. So Dallas Goedert is going to be a sleeping monster for this Eagles offense because the Eagles are so deep already as it is. Alshon Jeffery, Zach Ertz, Nelson Aguilar, that's your top three. But I think Dallas Goedert's going to have an extensive role in this offense. I could see them using him a lot in the slot, whereas you have Alshon split outside, and then maybe, I don't know if you move Aguilar to the outside or you have Zach Ertz, but I can see a lineup too where you have Alshon and Dallas Goedert on one side, Nelson Aguilar and Dallas Goedert on the other. I mean, or Zach Ertz, excuse me. So you have Ertz and Aguilar and Goedert and Alshon. That's a scary lineup, and I didn't even mention Mike Wallace, but Dallas Goedert's going to have a role. I think they're going to use a lot of 2 tight end sets this year. I think he is going to be a monster for the Eagles. I don't think he's getting enough hype because, you know, again, he's not going to necessarily be a starter right away. The Eagles have one of the best tight ends in football already. He was a second-round pick. He went to South Dakota, so I'm sure, unless you're a real draft nut like I am, not a lot of people were very familiar with Dallas Goedert. He didn't have the hype. And just young tight ends, really, unless you're a high pick, I don't feel like get a lot of buzz until you really see them put the pads on and actually start making plays, which is, you know, what Dallas Goedert does. He kind of just seems like he has that street ball side to him, you know, where he can just jump up and go get any ball. And outside of Alshon Jeffery, the Eagles don't really have a lot of playmakers like that. They have the speedy guys like Nelson Aguilar and Mike Wallace, the shifty running backs and Darren Sproles and Corey Clement. Zach Ertz can do it, but he, to me, is more about his ability to get open with route running, strong hands. But Dallas Goedert almost seems like that basketball player, you know, the Tony Gonzalez type, the Antonio Gates, where I'm going to post you up in the end zone, just let me go get it. I think you're going to see him, especially in the red zone. I think Dallas Goedert's going to have a huge role for the Eagles this year. And we saw Wentz give his receivers chances. He always has. And I look back to that Rams game where, you know, it hurts every time thinking about it because Wentz tore his ACL, but that was also the Trey Burton game. He was in place for Zach Ertz. And Trey Burton, some of those touchdowns, you look back to the play where he caught the touchdown in double coverage, Carson Wentz trusted him. Although he was his second tight end, Wentz put that ball up there and allowed Trey Burton to try to make a play on that. And I can't tell you the amount of contested plays Trey Burton caught in that Rams game, and Carson Wentz trusted him. And I think Wentz is going to form that same trust with Dallas Goedert. Wentz really, he does that with all his receivers. He's not someone that's going to keen in on one player all the time, you know, like Big Ben would do with Antonio Brown. Carson Wentz is going to spread the ball around, and I think it's going to allow Dallas Goedert to have opportunities in this passing game because, you know, you look at the stats, not one Eagles receiver had over 1,000 yards, but a bunch of them had, you know, in the 700 to 900-yard range when we look at Ertz, Aguilar, and Alshon. So there's plenty of opportunity to go around, and I think Dallas Goedert is going to have a significant role in that offense. Number three is Nate Geary, who is a linebacker for the Eagles, a former late-round draft pick out of Nebraska. I think he could be, so we talked about, I think Derek Barnett and Goddard are two of the more popular names for breakout players, but I think Nate Geary could be the Patrick Robinson type, where nobody really is expecting him to make a huge impact, although he's getting a little bit more buzz now because he's come in camp and he's looked huge. He's put on about 10 pounds, and he looks more like a linebacker than a safety. And I struggled deciding between him and Kamu Grugier-Hill, but with Jerry's experience at safety at Nebraska, I think that's what makes him stand out, and I think he could become the starting Will linebacker. Corey Nelson's going to be the favorite. They paid him like a starter, you know, a fringe starter. They told him that he was going to have an opportunity for starts. It's why he chose the Eagles. It's, you know, they cut Michael Kendricks as well because of it. So, not because of it, but Corey Nelson had a role in that, and I think they knew that when they cut Michael Kendricks, Corey Nelson was going to get a shot, but you have to be able to cover as a linebacker now. Where, and Corey Nelson is a pretty good pass coverage linebacker, but he, you know, physique-wise, is still more of the traditional linebacker, where Nate Geary played safety. And you have to be able to cover. You're going to have to go out when a running back splits out wide. You know, what are you going to do if you're playing the Minnesota Vikings and Dalvin Cook motions out and lines up in the slot? You have to have linebackers that have that ability to cover in space. I know they use safeties a lot with that, you know, Malcolm Jenkins, but what if Malcolm Jenkins is covering your tight end on the other side? You know, there's times where linebackers are going to have to make plays on athletic offensive players. So, and that's why you look at guys like Malcolm Jenkins and Arizona's Deion Buchanan, Mark Barron, who was a safety in college. They're all playing linebacker now. So Nate Geary fits that mold more at the Will side, especially considering, you know, the Will side isn't really even a starter anymore when you think about it. The nickel corner is going to play much more than your Will linebacker, but when he does play, he's going to have to, if you're going to line up in base defense, he's going to have to cover, because even if you're lined up in that formation, normally the offense is not going to be lined up in a I formation, you know, with a fullback. The offense is normally run with now three receivers, or, you know, and one tight end, or even if they have multiple tight ends, it's kind of like what Philly's going to have with Dallas Goedert and Zach Ertz, where they're basically bigger wide receivers. So I think Nate Geary fits more in the mold of the hybrid linebacker safety now that the NFL has really embraced, because that's, I mean, in a passing, you know, in a passing heavy league, that's something that defenses have to deal with now. So I think Nate Geary could be a favorite to win this Will spot. And if you ask me right now, I think him or Grugier-Hill are going to end up beating out Corey Nelson for the starting job. And right now, I would probably favor Geary. I really do, based on his coverage skills. I think that that's something that could really make him stand out in training camp. We'll see what happens when the pads come on, but he looks bigger. You know, Jim Schwartz really likes him. He's a big contributor on special teams. I think this is the Patrick Robinson, maybe, of 2018, and that's Nate Geary. Plus, don't, you know, keep in mind, Jordan Hicks, he's got an injury history as well, so he might have a bigger role even than just the Will linebacker. Number four is Sidney Jones. This one's obvious to me. You know, when the pads go on and he gets his chance, I think you're going to end up forgetting about Devonta Bosby. I think you're going to forget about Avante Maddox. He's at least going to be in the slot to me in 2018. I don't know if he's going to start on the outside with Jalen Mills and Ronald Darby still looking really strong coming off a Super Bowl win. I think they're going to give Darby a chance in 2018 to, you know, in a full year in the system, really try to thrive on the outside. But Sidney Jones is at least starting in the slot, because when the pads go on and he starts covering NFL talent, I think you're going to see him pop. I just think he's going to be elite. I just think he's going to be an elite player. I think he should have been a top 10 pick if he didn't tear his Achilles last year. He looked good in OTAs. He was making some big plays on the ball. He showed that he can play in the slot. I think he can play basically anywhere. I just think the talent's going to show eventually. He's going to stand out when he's healthy in training camp. So I just don't think they're going to be able to keep him off the field. I know everyone's like, well, where is he going to play? Because if you put Sidney Jones on the outside, what are you, keeping Mills on the bench or Darby? You know, if you're not putting one of those guys in the slot. But I don't think it matters, though. I think we have to focus in on Sidney Jones here, and I think he's going to be a player that you just can't keep off the field. I think he's going to be kind of like the Ben Simmons of football this year. Jordan Hanskin, who joined our show yesterday, kind of compared him to that, where I don't think people really understood how good Ben Simmons was for the Sixers because he didn't play an entire year. He was basically redshirted. But then we think, okay, yeah, this is why he was a top prospect coming out of college. And I think that's what we're going to have with Sidney Jones. I think he's going to end up forcing Darby or Mills to move inside. Even if it's not to start the season off, maybe he starts in the slot, or maybe he doesn't start at all, and Bosby or Avante Maddox start in the slot. Eventually, they're going to want their most talented corners on the field with Mills, Darby, and Sidney Jones. And I think you're going to want Sidney Jones covering other teams' best receivers at some point, which is going to maybe say, let's get Darby down in the slot, or let's have Jalen Mills, which I'm fine with either way. But I think Sidney Jones is going to be your number one corner eventually, and it could be as soon as week one of this season. Let's watch in training camp. Let's see what happens. He is basically a rookie this year, but let's watch. I think that we might have a breakout, and it's not just a breakout where, you know, he goes from a backup to a decent to good starter. I know he can't win Rookie of the Year because that's not how the NFL rookie system works, but let's just say if it was an NBA format, I think he could be up for Rookie of the Year this year. That's how much I believe in Sidney Jones, not just for the entire future of his career, but especially in 2018. My final breakout candidate for the Eagles, number 5, running back Matt Jones, surprisingly enough. And this is another good candidate for a surprise breakout. Look, he's got to beat out Pumphrey. I know he's got to beat out Wendell Smallwood, who I actually picked. If you go back on LockedOnEagles.com, I predicted the 53-man roster after minicamps, and I had Wendell Smallwood getting that fourth spot based on, you know, his explosiveness, his ability to make plays in the receiving game, but also he's a special teams player. But when you see Deuce Staley, who has such a big influence in what the Eagles do on offense, especially in the ground game, you know, being the running backs coach for so long, you know, he was getting head coaching considerations. The Eagles almost hired him as their offensive coordinator. He was promoted to assistant head coach. Deuce Staley has a lot of influence with what the Eagles decide to do at running back. And he told the media to watch out for Matt Jones. And I think he's really taken on the responsibility of growing Matt Jones's game, really keening in on him and trying to develop him. Because what do we think about when we talk about Matt Jones? It's fumbling. That's been his huge issue since coming into the NFL as a third round pick for the Redskins. But the Eagles should know firsthand, Matt Jones is a player that can catch lightning in a bottle. He did that with Washington a few times where he burst onto the scene. He's got explosiveness. He runs hard. You have Corey Clement as a receiving running back. I think he is a better rushing running back. I know that's weird to say considering that's what running backs are, but I think Clement is going to end up being more of a actual running back ball carrier than some people suspect, and I'm actually going to be writing something about that on LockedOnEagles.com. But you add Ajayi, who also has, by the way, knee injury history, and Darren Sproles is up there in age now. It's probably going to be his last season. I don't think the Eagles are going to use him extensively in the ground game, probably more in the special teams area in the passing attack. They're going to try to limit his workload, especially with Clement now on the offense doing a lot of the similar things. Matt Jones might be a big component to the running game. And I don't think he's going to be a big factor as a receiver, but running-wise, he might be relied on almost as much as Corey Clement. We'll see. I think the Eagles are going to definitely keep 4 running backs, and I think Matt Jones might be the guy at this point. That's what I'm hearing around the Eagles right now currently, and it's what it sounds like. And although I still think Smallwood could end up taking that job, you know, or Pumphrey or Josh Adams, I don't want to say yet. Josh Adams has got to get on the practice field, though, first. The pads haven't even gone on yet. Training camp and preseason is where it happens. That's how Corey Clement won his starting job. You know, even a few years back, God, I hate that I'm going to make this reference, but remember Chris Polk? You know, that dude, Bryce Brown was the prized guy because he was a number one recruit coming out of high school, but Chris Polk won himself a job in the preseason, and that's also what Corey Clement did last year with the Eagles. So, although I think these guys still have a shot, when it comes to Pumphrey, Smallwood, and Adams, I think Matt Jones is going to be the favorite right now, and I think he might have a decent role, especially if injuries end up hitting the Eagles. Because if Jay Ajayi can't stay healthy, they're going to rely on Corey Clement, but Matt Jones probably becomes your running back too, even if Sproles is healthy. I just don't think the Eagles are going to use Sproles the way they have in the past. I think they're going to try to save him, especially for a playoff run, because the Eagles know they're going to be in it at the end, and I think they're going to want to have Darren Sproles in it during crunch time. That's going to wrap up today's edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast. Thank you so much for everyone that tuned in to the show. We'll be back tomorrow for another edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast. I got some cool announcements. We're going to be having Dennis Dixon on the show this Monday, the former Philadelphia Eagles quarterback in 2013. Remember when Chip Kelly first came in, he brought on Dennis Dixon, almost won the Heisman at Oregon. He was an Oregon standout. Some people thought he might have won the job in Philadelphia, maybe, when Chip Kelly came in. So we're going to talk to him about, he is now a member of the American Flag Football League with Michael Vick and a lot of the former Eagles. We're going to get what he's been doing post-career, what he's doing in the AFFL, the revolution of the quarterback in the NFL with option, which he was big into. So I'm very excited to have Dennis Dixon on. He's also, by the way, a fan favorite of mine, one of the main reasons I got into football and college football. But for now, this is Lou DiBiase signing off for the Locked On Eagles podcast on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.